Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday for this Saturday, August 3rd, 2019. We're already in August, Edward, but let's get things started. Sports Saturday proudly funded by CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Always open online at caclfcu.org. Voted the number one lending institution for the past
5 years.
Why is that, folks? Because their members know it, and you should find out too. At CACL Financial, you won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
Thank you, BG's Value Markets. 4 convenient locations for your shopping experience: Jonestown, Millersburg, Pine Grove, and Minersville. They've got aisles upon aisles of grocery savings. And don't forget, they've got the freshest meat for the hottest irons of your summer grill. If their meat was any fresher, Chaz Hepler,
you'd have to slap it.
And Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road. Don't forget to check out their dairy line. From whole milk to skim milk, the orange juice to get that Saturday morning off on the right foot. And, of course, the thirst-quenching iced teas and fruit drinks. Chaz, you enjoying the delicious diet green tea once again this morning?
Back to my huge. Back to the huge.
Okay. Well, I'm on the sugar-free tea. Just the plain old sugar-free tea. Thirst-quenching. Gears Dairy, of course, the official hydrator, WPPA Sports Saturday, and the summer of 2019. Well, my friend, let's get our final summer show started. And I've got to tell you, I couldn't agree with you more this week than ever before. Yeah, I know you're going to find it hard
Wait
to believe. Sit down. Relax.
You were on a kick of firing me up.
No, relax. Sit down. Just hear me out here. Are you ready?
Okay.
If the Phillies don't sweep the White Sox this weekend at Citizens Bank Ballpark, I believe Gabe Kapler shouldn't see Monday, August 5th. Okay. And I'm not even a Phillies fan. I could give to you whatever. I'm not even a Phillies fan. I am on your side. If they cannot beat the White Sox at Citizens Bank Ballpark this weekend, Kapler should be fired. The Mets destroyed the White Sox. Destroyed the White Sox earlier this week. Okay, the Mets are on a winning streak, all right, coming into the weekend. And you've got to look at it. Hey, now, are the Mets a serious threat to the Phillies in a wild card hunt? Are they?
Everybody's a serious threat to the Phillies in the wild card hunt. I mean, really, you have to even ask that question. They didn't pick up much at the deadline. Yeah, they got Vargas from the Mets. They got this Dickerson fella from Pittsburgh. But I still scratch my head about why you pick up another outfielder. Bruce should be coming back shortly. That'll bail you out there. Quinn's starting to catch on a little bit. But we'll see how it all works out. The Phillies, they certainly didn't act like a team that wants to make it to the World Series by the trade deadline and what the moves they made. The Braves were hungry. The Nationals didn't give up the farm system and got some talent. So, I mean, I don't know what they're thinking in Philadelphia.
I mean, think about all the talk coming into that trade deadline on, Tuesday, Wednesday-ish. All the talk, like, who's going to go where, what's going to happen. It was sort of like lackluster. You know what I mean?
Very much
like,
so.
It was like the Y2K bug. You remember the Y2K bug?
Yeah, you got all jazzed up and nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened. Like, everybody was jazzed up. Like, the Phillies are going to be buyers. The Mets are going to be sellers. This team's going to move people. The Red Sox are going to do this. You heard all of this big hype. Mm-hmm. Who's going to go where? And, like, it was like 4 o'clock came, and it was like, pass me another Danish or something, because that was so exciting. It was boring.
Danish?
No, I didn't have Danish, but I was hoping maybe you had Danish over there underneath the counter.
I'm watching my figure.
Oh, well, yeah. You know what I mean? It is coming to two-a-days. It's coming to
two-a-days are coming up, and we're getting ready to go out and get back on the beaten path here of broadcasting. And I got to be careful. I know some local officials that have dropped some poundage and are feeling great and ready to roll.
Oh, boy.
So, I got that text, ready to rock. Oh, is boy. What I was told. So we'll see. I hope their eyesight was checked.
You know, the funny part about it is you talk about that, and you know, there's a lot of rules changes coming up in high school football. Later we'll have Dr. Lombardi on, and he'll give us our summer update. You know, I mean, it's sort of like a tradition here on Sports Saturday now, where you know it comes around, you know, back to school sales start hitting the newspapers and start hitting your inbox or your email back to school. Everybody has a back to school sale, and as soon as we start getting those, we're like, hey, we've got to get our update of the new athletic year with Dr. Lombardi, and that's what we have on tap here later on this morning. But you know, right now we're talking summer sports, the boys of summer, and the lackluster trade deadline.
I got nothing to say. I mean, you're not going to get me fired up. You were successful once last week. You could keep trying to bait me into this, but I don't know that you're going to find me taking the hook this time. I mean, I basically summed it up. We'll see. It has been a snoozer at the trade deadline.
Can I get you, I mean, would you bite on a mealworm, Nightcrawler, no. Maybe a shiner or
no,
something?
No, I don't want any of that stuff. You can buy all you want from the tackle box. I'm not taking the bait today. It is the end of summer. It's sad that the end of summer is here, but I'm also gleefully happy that we're getting set to start you covering Crimson Tide football. I know you'll be talking that very soon here on the radio. I'll be back. You know, traveling about. I mean, you have 4 home games to start the season.
Yeah, but then I pay for it in week number 5.
You definitely do.
I have to go on the road trip
to the outskirts of Philadelphia for Friday night. Yeah. I can't wait till you ask for vacation time from your real job for that one.
No.
But so it's exciting. Heat acclimatization coming up next week to get the kids back in working camp, put pads on until that's over. Dr. Lombardi talks about how exciting that is. We'll hear about that coming up in a little bit. And, you know, it's nice of Dr. Lombardi to take his time out to inform all of us as to what some of those rules changes are that they'll see in fall sports. You know, talk about things in a very candid manner. And that's what I think is the greatest part about him, is that he's not afraid to come on programs with us or other programs, and he'll talk about things. He's up front. He doesn't pull any punches. And you know, it's all in the vein of making sure athletics doesn't come before academics, but the athletic realm is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be safe. It's supposed to give kids a great experience combined with their classroom. And that mantra has not left.
But most importantly, Chaz, is it supposed to be fair as fair can be. And they're trying to do that. That is one thing. I mean, I think that we have to say is they're trying to make it as fair can be. It's going to be exciting to hear a lot of the stuff that Dr. Lombardi will talk about. And, you know, I mean, so people know he doesn't have a preview to the questions we ask.
No.
You know what I mean? And he doesn't shy away. You know what I mean? It is what it is. I mean, it's not, I mean, oh, hey, listen, edit that out. We can't do that. This is live radio.
Indeed. And, you know, and I don't think he would expect us to edit anything out. Now, you know, sometimes do I think he has to be guarded and close to the vest? Sure, that's any type of businessman or executive director or any position like that has to be close to the vest on some things. They can't let everybody know every single thing.
I mean, the old mantra.
There is transparency with them, and it's enough and it's helpful.
But loose lips could also sink big ships. You know?
Indeed.
that's how things happen. But
sure,
you know,
I know you were excited. I thought you were going to lead with something else that you were trying to give me some kind of kudos or talk about here on the air. I know there's been a lot of social media buzz going on in the northern part that you've been highly excited to see. And unfortunately, you won't get to see a game on it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the game that I would get to see on it, I mean, being the man that I am, the friend, and being, you know, I mean, all about, you know, helping out my fellow man. I mean, I won't get to see a game on it. But, you know, it was great to watch throughout the week. The athletic director, Jim Gross, on social media heavily. North Schuylkill Athletics on social media have been putting in the progress of the next turf that is going in at the Spartan
Stadium.
Next turf. Or turf.
It's not a turf.
It is
field turf.
Field turf. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So it has changed as the technology has gotten better. I haven't kept up with the names of it as it has gotten better. So, but field turf, you know, being installed at North Schuylkill, I was excited. I mean, when I first saw the first end zone, I was waiting for the star to go and dawn the middle of the field, and you know, because the north end zone looks to be a little reminiscent of what you would find in AT&T Stadium in
it's a little brighter
Arlington.
Than that. It's a little brighter. This is more royal than what you think it would be. Okay, it's not that navy in the star.
Oh.
It's a little more royal.
Okay, and then the south end zone is a beautiful red. The red and the blue, of course.
There were a lot of people commenting that they don't think they've ever seen a synthetic surface or a field with two different colored end zones.
It just doesn't
happen very often.
I think it's very nice. I can't wait to get a chance to go to meet the Spartans night as we try to get around and support our local athletes and see some of the local kids. I know I have that one penciled in on my calendar. I try to get there every year since they're, you know, my hometown team, but I try to get down there to meet the Spartans night. So it's going to be neat to see the Spartans hit the field turf for Meet the Spartans night coming
Maybe
up
you'll
here.
Know somebody that can get you in for an early preview when it's all done.
Oh, jeeps. I saw it under lights. I mean, they had a lot of previews out of it. It was very nice that what they did to off their acquisition.
It was a long time and a long process to get that to come to fruition. Speaking from being part of the whole thing going on right now, it was a long process. There's a lot of great partners, which will be announced in the coming weeks as the field gets finished up, that have assisted in that being installed in Fountain Springs. You know, a lot of people will talk about their tax money going up because of this field at North Schuylkill, and that's not the case. The school district is, for lack of a better term, I guess you could say, on the hook for $295,000.
So, I mean, if I'm correct, and I'm thinking back, I mean, to when a lot of these other schools come in and put either natural surfaces or artificial or synthetic surfaces down, $295,000 is probably about what it would cost to put a natural covering
Not
down.
Not even close.
Yeah, I mean, or at the cheapest.
Double that.
Yeah.
You double that.
Yeah.
For just the natural surface is at least double that. And, you know, you take into account the cost savings with you don't need, one or two employees to paint it every day. There's over 56 events on there in the fall between football, all levels of football, all levels of soccer, the band competitions, and those kind of things. So when you look in the long run, there it generates a savings after that initial price tag. It pays for itself in a few years where all of that's recouped. But
you're talking just about painting. I mean, you got to remember
painting. I'm not talking about cutting.
There's watering it in mm-hmm. drought times to keep it alive, so it doesn't die out on you. There's pesticides and herbicides and all that fun stuff that has to be applied to it to keep it looking nice and plush and to keep out the invasion of dandelions. And I mean, so
right.
I mean, to me, I mean, I think it's going to be a great thing. It's a great thing for Schuylkill League athletics. It brings, hopefully, I mean, maybe soccer matches or district games closer. I mean, it gives an option for teams that may be advancing on a state playoffs. Mm-hmm. Gives them an option close for a neutral site let's not beat around the bush. The PIAA has now put in that you got to play on a synthetic surface during the state championship rounds. So this gives our area teams a possibility of having a larger venue to host the Class 4, maybe the Class 5A, you know, teams that could come here, and 6A that could come here, a suitable field. You mean that maybe we don't have to travel down into the Lehigh Valley. Maybe we don't have
Correct.
To travel to the
and,
Philadelphia
And it also
region.
is a natural midpoint for the Harrisburg area schools, the Scranton area schools. So, I mean, there could be some high-caliber games coming into the area that the casual football fan would want to go see. Now they don't have to drive as far. Now they have that venue. And you weren't expecting this conversation this morning, were you?
No, I was not. I was surprised. I mean,
I normally don't bring this side into it. But, you know, I know there was a lot of buzz, a lot of talk and a lot of posting and all those things going on, and for a while I just didn't feel a need to talk about it, but I'll tell you what, I'm so damn proud of everybody that's involved, everybody that's helped to make that come to fruition, that I can't stop talking about it. It's
And it's exciting. It's exciting to see. I mean, and I know the tax. I understand all the taxes. I understand how things operate. I know I got the inside look of, I mean, listen, no way about it. I mean, until our state legislatures decide what they're going to do. And I mean, and that's for a whole nother program from 10 till noon here, Monday through Friday. You call up and ask them and tell them to get on our state legislators to get things straightened out in tax revenues and stuff like that. I still don't understand why I'm hitting a darn pothole on the highway driving here this morning when we're the second highest gambling revenue in the nation. But, you know, I mean, that's for another show. Call in 10 to noon with the chat pack. Talk to them. Step up to the mic. Tell them to get on our state legislators. Tell them to find out the answers because, you know, I mean, your taxes are going to go up every year no matter what. So budget for it. It's got to go up or they can't raise them. The laws are just unreal. You know, I mean, a turf surface isn't doing it. It's great. I want to say congratulations to you, your fellow members of the school board, to the administration, to the athletic department, and most importantly, to the students and student athletes of North Schuylkill School District on a great job. Well done. Well-deserved project. Well-deserved attention and congratulations.
Well, thanks, Doc. I appreciate that. I think maybe it's time now that I have a little bit of fire under you this Saturday.
Woo!
To get on the horn and let's talk to Dr. Lombardi and find out what's going on all things PIAA on AM 1360, 106 FM.
And worldwide, WPPARadio.com.
If you're a business owner, you know that keeping track of your finances is a daily challenge. Make your banking as easy as it can be at CACL Financial. CACL Financial is the convenient, cost-effective, and friendly place to do your business banking. If you're a business that's located in or does business in Schuylkill County, become a member today. What makes a business banking relationship with CACL Financial better for you? We have business deposit accounts, free checking, and no maintenance fees and no minimum deposits. Need financing? CACL Financial offers business loans of all kinds and merchant services too. CACL Financial, business banking the way it was meant to be. That's why we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County in the Reader's Choice poll for the fifth consecutive year. Call 570-628-2400 to learn more or online at caclfcu.org. Like us on Facebook. A better business banking relationship is just one step away at CACL Financial. Member NCUA Equal Housing Lender.
Wall-to-wall savings every day at BG's Value Markets. Minersville, Pine Grove, Jonestown, and Millersburg. Open daily 7 a.m. till 9 p.m. Check out some of these great deals. Whole boneless pork loins, just $1.68 per pound. Value packs of boneless chicken thighs, $1.98 per pound. Greens ice cream, 48 ounces, only $2.48. Hatfield sweet or Italian sausage, $2.98 a pound. Land O'Lakes American cheese, $4.98 a pound. 35-pack of Crystal Geyser spring water, only $3.68. Locally grown grape tomatoes, 2 pints for $4. Locally grown peaches or nectarines, 98 cents per pound. 4 packs of Activia yogurt, 178. Domino 10X or brown sugar, 1 pound bags, just 88 cents. Stouffer's assorted French bread pizzas, 2 for $5. And McCain's fries or taters, 2 for $5. Your family and your wallet will thank you for shopping at BG's Value Markets. Conveniently located in Pine Grove, Minersville, Jonestown, and Millersburg.
Welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday. Phillies, 7:05 start today against the White Sox. Top of the first inning, OIP flamethrower inning. Tim Proc Fractal, our lucky contestant. Let's talk to Dr. Robert Lombardi, the executive director of the PIAA.
Good morning and welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday. Joining us now this morning, the executive director of the PIAA, friend of the program, Dr. Bob Lombardi. Good morning, Dr. Lombardi. How's things?
Good morning. Things are great. We're gearing up here and getting ready to start another season, another school year, so things are exciting.
It's interesting how time flies through the summer months to get to the point where we're starting the heat acclimatization process and getting kids safe and ready to go for the warmer temperatures.
Yes, and the preliminary temperatures next week look like it's a typical August in Pennsylvania. I think the baseball people call these the dog days of summer.
Doc, the last time you were on the program, we had talked about the transfer rule, and I know that the PIAA has tried to make it extremely easy for schools with the transfer assistant and also certificates of eligibility, but some teams or schools possibly not reporting correct participation roster numbers, I guess, because there's a fine going to be associated with it now, correct?
Yes. Last fall, we had 100% compliance of schools getting in their eligibility forms. We fell a little bit short of that in the winter. We had a couple schools that didn't get them in, and there is a $100 fine for them to get it in, and they aren't eligible for postseason if they don't get it in. So it's not, well, we'll just pay the $100 and be done with it. That's right. Not the way it works. So I think for the first year of that, the number that we had compared to the number of schools that are sponsoring sports and all the sports that we do have, the 15 sports championships, we did pretty well. We did pretty well. So this year we think it'll be much better even.
You know, when you take a look at the transfer rules and some clarification by the competition committee at the last board meeting to change the competition formula and reduce the number of transfers required to increase classification. So it goes from 5 to football and 2 in basketball to 3 in football and 1 in basketball for the 2-year cycle of the competition formula.
Yes. The competition committee passed on a second reading, and or the board passed on a second reading coming from the competition committee, was they heard a lot of information coming in that how one student transferring in basketball, depending upon the player, really has a major impact, especially in the smaller classifications. So they floated out there, you know, 3 kids, especially in skill position in football, or 1 kid if he's a terrific player, and we've seen one in basketball last year that would have had a tremendous impact that didn't play in the postseason. They thought that that would assist and even the playing field a little better or in our smaller classifications. And also, in basketball, 1 kid can make a major impact, and 3 kids can make a major impact in football. So they tweaked that. That's up for a third reading here in October. I think it makes sense. The competition formula point are still the same of 6 or more. So the combination of 6 points and 3 transfers in football or 1 transfer in basketball will put somebody up in classification. We think it's going to make a lot of sense. We think it's going to do exactly what it's supposed to do. Those people that are continually successful, maybe they need to move up and play a little better competition.
You know, you take a look, and since the competition formula has come in, the transfer rules have come in, it's been interesting to see different entities proposing now all of a sudden different ideas on how to handle it. One that came out through the summer was that the Catholic schools wanted the transfer rules waived, and then they would agree to a separate playoff format. It seems like some folks were looking for their cake and wanting to eat it too.
Yeah. Well, my intel on that was just one person that didn't have all the input from all the Catholic schools that are in the respective diocese. Because my intel told me that the Catholic schools want the transfer rule. They want it for a host of reasons, because the major one, they want to be treated like every other school, because I think they sometimes get painted with a brush that they have this open recruiting or open transferring that's happening all the time. And what we've seen in the portal, the eligibility portal, that doesn't seem to hold water across the board. So I think that person has been sort of corrected in what that philosophical position was. But the other piece of it was no one, I don't believe, in schools wants to drop the transfer rule altogether. because states that have done that have had a mess. I can point to Florida for one of them. And in Florida, you can play football at Pottsville, and then you can go play basketball at Lourdes, and then you can go play baseball at somewhere else at, let's say, Tamaqua. So that would not be healthy at all, and I think it gets away from our philosophy of transfer rule that athletics are to be subservient to the academic mission of the school. And that's been in our bylaws probably all the way back to 1913.
You know, it's interesting when you take a look at everything that has gone on and pointing at different charter schools, Catholic schools, the non-boundary versus the boundary. And I think one thing that would probably, and it's out of the purview of athletic directors, it's out of the scope of the PIAA, but if the sheer number of these pop-up charter schools would have been held true, I don't think we'd be in the situations that we're in right now. It kind of exploded all over the place educationally.
Yeah, and I understand where it came from with schools of choice and to give parents opportunities of choice. I don't have any issue with that. What I said a number of years ago to the Oversight Committee was, I certainly support that platform of the parties, that parents can educate their students, their sons and daughters, the way they see fit and in their best interest of their family. My only issue was I didn't read anywhere in the charter school law or any of those laws where they say they can support athletic programs. If those students that went to charters would all go back home to their school of residence and play there, I think it would be more palatable across the state. But that's not what we have at this time. Maybe it's something that the Oversight Committee will look at, because I think that student is the only student that has dual eligibility. They have eligibility at the school where they attend, which would be the charter. And if that charter supports an athletic team, then they can play there. But if they don't have an athletic team, then they can go back by law, state law, back home to their school of residence. And that's the only student in our whole association that could play two places in 1 year. And I think that's troubling. I would like to still work towards that all those students possibly return home to their school of residence. I think it would also save our public schools that are funding charter schools some money. And because obviously there has to be an allocation given to the support of athletic teams. Just look at uniforms, transportation, and coaching salaries. And I know coaching salaries is probably the smallest part of that, but transportation, uniforms, you know, home and away jerseys, those type of things, they add up.
You know, that is certainly one way to slice the apple that would be very equitable to everybody.
That was something that we thought, I'm not taking credit of it myself. I mean, our association has talked about, but right now that's not what is readily accepted in the governmental area. And hopefully it's something that they can have discussion about, because I think it's more equitable for our students, to be candid with you. And it does not inhibit any parent from having the opportunity to educate their student in the best interests of their family. So, wow. Just a thought.
Yeah. Changing gears a little bit, spring sports wrapping up. Had the opportunity to run into you at the softball championships. Everything go well with the championships this year?
Yes. Our spring tournaments went very well. We did have a little bit of a different venue for our boys volleyball championship. Rec Hall was undergoing some major construction. They're putting in a new floor and some other items, which is it's the mecca of volleyball here in the eastern part of the country. But with that being said, we got to go to the Pagula Ice Arena and put down a court and play the boys AA and AAA championship there. And let me tell you something. It was pretty good. It was pretty darn good. The lighting in there, the video boards and everything. It was just a great venue as a fail-safe, let's say.
Right.
And we're really looking forward to the new construction back at Rec Hall to go back this spring. But that was kind of a neat little change, and I think people enjoyed it. The other piece, the spring, well, you saw what happened with softball. We had some terrific games. I wish the weather would cooperate a little better. That was a pretty wet spring to get through. But, you know, our teams, I think the level of play that we have across A to 4A has really been closer. And, of course, then with 5A, 6A, you know, having six classes where schools are competing closer in size to each other, I think the competition's been better. And Chad, just so you know, in the last 3 years that we've had upwards of six classifications in some sports and four in others, and we expanded to two in some other sports, we've had almost 100 new schools participate in a championship game. That means 100 schools had the opportunity to grab the brass ring. And that's what that was designed to do, in playing schools closer in your size. And I think it's worked.
When you take a look at the allotment in that setup, Doc, what we're seeing is now with the expansion of the classifications, a lot of teams with sub-500 records getting into postseason play. You know, is there any look back possibly at saying, well, maybe we can shorten up tournaments or start them a little later? Do we want to continue to keep that in? Because, I mean, there was a team that had three wins that made it into the basketball playoffs. And watching them, I kind of felt bad for them because the competition they were playing was so much more overpowering than they. And I didn't know if that would be thought of as counterproductive.
Well, I do think you raise a good point, and it has happened. It's in the broad scheme of things, it's minimal. However, some of our districts have a 500 record, and you need to have a 500 record to qualify for playoffs. And I think that is a good line of demarcation to start tournaments for the simple reason that it makes the regular season mean something. It makes it count. What the pushback we get is people say, yeah, but I'm a small school, and the league that I'm in are all 5A and 6A schools, so I'm playing up all the time, and it's very difficult. So when I play people my size in my classification, we do quite well. So I'm not sure that that's an argument that holds enough water to overtake the 500 success to enter, but that's a discussion we'll continue to have going forward.
You know, Doc, we'll shift a little bit. There's some rule changes coming to some fall sports. The big one, of course, football. Everybody follows football and is getting geared up. And this year, a 40-second clock instituted. I was not aware of everything that a clock operator had to pay attention to until doing research into this rule change. They have a lot on their hands, and now they're going to have to try and remember when it goes from 40 back to 25 and vice versa.
Right, and hopefully the pregame meeting with the clock operators and the referee and umpire before the game will smooth most of that out. I think we've done a pretty good job. I know in one district we had a little primer last week. They had 115 people show up, of officials and clock operators and schools, to discuss some of this. I think you're going to see a better game. I think coaches are going to get more plays in. Teams are going to get more plays in. And the other point of it is I think the fans are going to have a more of a rhythm to the game and a flow, where, you know, you don't get people, you know, you get a guy like Chad who is very strict in his ready for play and he's consistent, and then you get a Bob who who likes to dance around and make sure everybody sees what's going on and everybody's ready, and that game drags out. So hopefully that'll take that away from the game and put it back in the hands of having more action, more plays, and I think it'll be better for everybody.
You know, and let's talk about how this is going to work. From my understanding, the 40-second play clock will start immediately after a play is over, correct?
Yep, when the play is blown dead, it'll start.
And then teams have from there to get their play in, lined up, and snap the football within that 40 seconds.
Yep, yep. It's just like it is at other levels. You've seen it at the NFL level. You've seen it at the college level. And, you know, sometimes things trickle down like this has. And I think this will be better for the game.
Now, the 25-second clock will come back into play after any penalty, if it's stopped for an injury, if there's a score, on extra points, a player's helmet comes off, those kind of things, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay, so people know when they're looking and they're saying, what's that clock doing running over there? It's going to be different depending on the situation. It seems like any dead ball time, then teams get 25 seconds in order to get everything back underway.
Right, and coming out of a dead ball timeout or break in the action, you have plenty of time to get ready and get to the line of scrimmage to get it in. So I think that's a good move as well. I think it's consistent with other codes. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure we'll have a couple hiccups here and there. But on the spectrum of things, I think it's going to be good for the game.
The other interesting thing that I saw coming into play is the adoption of the use of video review or instant replay, but it'll only be in the state tournament to get things started in this venue.
Yeah, we're walking right now. We adopted that a number of years ago for state finals. I think that's pretty much where we are with that at this time, because not all our games are videoed by a production company of television.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of handheld stuff going on in the stands, but I'm not sure that that's something that we can rely on, especially, and you know yourself, Chad, the angle in which the official sees the play is not always the angle you have from the stand. And we've seen many, many times just in the professional game on how one angle is so much different than the other. So we're going to walk slowly with that one.
Right. I saw last year there were a lot of teams had iPads on the sidelines, and they would be using their huddle feed. And you could see them, the coaches walking down the sideline, holding it out at officials. Like, look at it, look at it, look at it. And
yeah.
It was just...
And they can't. They can't. That's to be a coaching piece. It's not to be an officiating piece. So
right.
Coaches need to... sort of reel themselves in a little bit.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that they were trying that angle. And I just thought the technology, my goodness, this is high school football. I mean, this is like putting robotic umpires in. Let's not force the hand here. There has to be that human element in officiating or calling balls and strikes and everything. I mean, I just saw it as something wild when I saw this pop up in part of the rule changes in the focus points this year for football. And I was like, oh, my goodness, here we go again. But, no, I'm glad that it's just when television's there and it's just a state championship game. That's great. Another thing that I, in the media, and I would hope all of my comrades in arms would thank a PIAA official for, as far as the brass, and that's visibility of numbers. A lot of teams have tried to get a little flashy with their uniforms, and we don't know what kids were looking at because you can't see what they are. So you guys have changed that so folks will know what numbers are on these uniforms.
Yeah, and you know, that I think a lot of that came from equipment providers trying to be sexy or trendy. And they really did the fans and the coaches a disservice, because you know yourself, coaches want to see those numbers as well, especially when they're reviewing film and breaking down film, whether it be their own team and for grading purposes or if it's the opponent for scouting purposes. So I think, you know, some of those big name companies didn't do any of us a service by some of those shadow lines and some of the things they've done. But hopefully we can get that back to square one and let a uniform be what it's supposed to be, a uniform and an identification of a player.
And also, you guys redefined a little bit, or should I say clarified a greater portion of the back of the jersey for horse collar tackle penalties. You not only went now from the collar, but also to where the nameplate area of the jersey is.
Yeah, we've seen some injuries across the country, and that's where that came from. And, you know, we're trying to keep football, and it's a great game. And it's a safe game, but it you know, you have to have tweaks and you have to evaluate each season at the end some issues that may have come up. And, you know, with our heat acclimatization and kids getting sport physicals and schools hiring athletic trainers and having medical staff on the sidelines of football games and EMT services, I think our schools need to be commended for keeping this game of football, as well as all our other sports, safe.
Indeed. The other part of safety, but I thought this was prohibited in the beginning, but when I popped up and I looked at it, tripping the runner is now prohibited. I thought that was always a penalty.
No, there was always great debate of that in the Football Rules Committee. But finally, I think we've seen that it's usually done not so much as a tackling thing. It's done as and has created an injury situation. So we're somewhat concerned of that.
Moving over to soccer, I saw that there was a bit of fair play adjusted, which I applaud the Rules Committee for taking a look at this. And with soccer, it's the clock shall be stopped when a substitute by the team in the lead is beckoned onto the field in the final 5 minutes of the second period, that in order to keep them from wasting time by subbing. I mean, when you look at the professionals, the Olympics, the World Cup, you only have a certain limited amount. But in high school, it's free substitution. And now you guys have said, no, we're going to stop the clock instead of allowing someone just to run it out by running kids on and off.
And that's what they've done, and it was raising its ugly head that they're not substituting the outside left that is on the score table side of the field. They're taking the far right back that's on the other side, and of course they have to run all the way across the field, and they were doing it to waste time and to take time away from the opponent so that they couldn't score, especially in a tight game with less than 5 minutes. So we're going to try it, see how it works. Again, most of these rules, or all these rules, are rules that have been adopted across the country by our parent group, the National Federation of State High School Associations. And I think those committees, they have people elected from all different sections of the country. We've had the opportunity. You talk about soccer. Our statewide rules interpreter, Dr. Stanley Latta from State College, he will be the incoming chairman of the Soccer Rules Committee, and he replaces a long lineage of quality people that go back to Mario Donangelo from Bethlehem, PA, who served 8 years as the soccer chairman at the National Federation. So we're really thrilled that Stan has been selected. He'll do a tremendous job. He has a wealth of knowledge. And he also has a good handle on the game, on what the purpose is the safety, the playability, the equal competition format of keeping the game for the players and in the best interest of all of our coaches, spectators, and communities that are involved with soccer. So we're really thrilled for Stan.
You know, Doc, that's wonderful. And, I mean, it seems to go along with the mantra of the association here at the PIAA that you have wholeheartedly embraced, encouraged, and at some times have pushed at people, that it's about the experience for the kids. It's about the fan experience. But most of all, everybody is going to be safe while doing it, and everybody's going to have some fun while participating in extracurricular sports.
Well, I you couldn't have said it any better, Chad. Athletics are supposed to be fun. Sports are supposed to be fun. Sometimes we get a little bit off track. I know some people get a little too serious about it, but athletics are supposed to be fun, and there's a lot that goes into it. I know people put an awful lot of time. I know back in the day when I was teaching and coaching, I certainly put a lot of time into it, but I did it because I liked it. I did it because I wanted to be around young people. I guess I'm still a gym rat. If you ask me what my favorite, I still like sitting in the gym. I still like being in the gym. So it's one of those things with me. But we're looking forward to a great season. We hope that the folks come out and support their communities. I think some of our crowds have been down the last couple of years. I think technology has had a lot to do with that. Sometimes it's easier to stay home and have your neighbor tweet you the score or send you a video clip or whatever the case might be, but we certainly would like to have them come out and support their communities. I think the young people that are out there participating deserve it.
Indeed, we try and encourage people to bring a headset when we're broadcasting games on the radio and listen at the field instead of, you know, yes, staying at home to listen. We love them to listen to us, but we encourage them to come out and bring a headset with you and just listen to us there.
And I will say this, I've done that, and you guys are tremendously entertaining.
Well, I appreciate that. We try. Doc, anything else on the horizon here for the PIAA that you want to cover before we part ways this morning?
No, we're really, well, this fall, you know, we start our classification process, and I think this, I think the competition formula is going to work. It's going to, it's only in football and basketball to start, and boys and girls basketball, and we'll see how that shakes out. I think it's going to do exactly what it's supposed to do in a quake competition, and we'll see how it goes. We're really kind of excited about it, because if it does work the way we envision it, we think it'll solve some of this, I would just say, weeping and gnashing of teeth over who's winning and who's not. So maybe we can level the playing field even a little more.
So in the next classification cycle, that's going to be in play? I thought it was going to be a couple years to build up a base of championships. But so right off the bat here, coming up in 2021, that competition clause may have some people moved up classifications already.
That's correct.
Wow.
That's correct. Yep, we'll start taking the numbers in October, and at the end of the football season, hopefully we'll have everything computed, and we will have an idea of who's possibly moving up. So it'll be at the end of the season, and we'll start our bracketing for our next two-year cycle in January.
Wow, things are going to look different in a hurry then. That's pretty incredible.
That will be a whole show itself, if you would like.
You know, I think teams that will move up, for the most part, I would say probably about 95% know it's coming and probably have already embraced that challenge. You know, some schools have already asked to move up before this is all kicked in because they knew they were going to get moved up anyway.
Sure.
So. Yep. You know, I think it may be more of a pressure base from fan bases so much more than athletic directors or coaches, I would think.
Well, I'm sure there's probably not a coach in the world that wants to move up in classification. If you ask them, they'd all probably like to go down one. But that's because they're competitive, and I get that. That's human nature. There's not a problem with that. Our coaches out there are good. They're good. They work hard, and they know their sport well, and they know their teams well. It's a labor of love for them, and I'm sure they don't get all the recognitions that they should for putting the time in to help young people. But I know I get it. when somebody's sitting there and they think their student should be playing and they're not, well, we always have to remember the coach wants to win as well as they do. So,
right. Well, Doc, with that,
tip of the cap to them as well.
I'm sure they appreciated it when they figure it out to about 8 cents an hour.
You're probably giving them some.
Yeah, I might
the
be.
The poor guy, the guys and gals that are out there working. But you know what? We wouldn't have good sports without them. So we're really glad that they're part.
Indeed. Well, we won't hold you up this morning. We want to thank you for filling our WPPA listeners in as to what's new and exciting and what's happening with the sports. Is boy, next week it all seems to get underway officially, and we're off and rolling.
Yeah. Summer went quickly. You know, you wrap up baseball and softball, and we then the next week we have our review of the spring sports season. And then there's usually like that 1 week between the end of June and July the 4th that's kind of a down week. And then that's it, because as soon as the 4th of July hits, we're already in the fall sports, getting information out, schedules, all those type of things. So it goes quickly, but it's exciting, and we're real happy to be starting here on Monday.
Well, Doc, hopefully I will catch up with you at a game somewhere in the near future.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks for having me, Chad. It's always fun to be with you.
Thanks
so much.
Thank you.
You work hard for your money, so don't let the big banks take it away in service fees and charges every month. Bank at CACL Financial, and you'll see the difference. At CACL Financial, not only will you be treated like family, your money will work for you. If you live, work, worship, or attend school in Schuylkill County, CACL Financial has the products and services to meet your personal and business banking needs. People love banking with us so much that we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 5 consecutive years in the Reader's Choice poll. At CACL Financial, it's more than checking and savings accounts and CDs or home mortgages, vehicles, and home equity loans. CACL Financial meets your needs every day. Visit our convenient office on West Market Street in Pottsville, online at caclfcu.org, and like us on Facebook. CACL Financial, member NCUA, equal housing lender.
Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road is the county's oldest full-service family-owned dairy. Gears prides themselves on their high standards and offers quality produced milk products, as well as orange juice, fruit drinks, and their very own popular iced tea. Make Gears a name you invite into your home every day. Look for Gears products in your favorite supermarket or convenience store. Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road, the county's oldest full-service family-owned dairy, always committed to excellence.
You're listening to Sports Saturday on WPPA with Ed and Chaz. Tune into the Phillies later today on your news and sports leader, AM 1360.
Phillies baseball later this afternoon, 6:30 for the pregame, 7:05 first pitch. The Phillies taking on the White Sox. Tim Prock-Frackville, that flamethrower inning contestant, top of the first. Actually has a good chance to win prizes from OIP Pottsville, where the food is flame smoking good. Chaz, great interview with Dr. Bob Lombardi, once again the executive director of the PIAA.
Yeah, we'd like to thank him for taking time out of his schedule to explain the nuances of what's happening now this year with some of the rules changes in football and soccer as well for the fall season. Also talking about that transfer rule and how that's kind of moved around. We got to thank the great doctor for joining us here this morning. But Doc, summertime has flown.
Yeah, it just flew right by. Next week we're coming back. We're talking high school football. We start it all off next Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
right here on WPPA Sports Saturday, proudly funded by the fine folks at CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Always open online at caclfcu.org, the number one lending institution for the past
5 years. BG's Value Markets, 4 convenient locations for aisles upon aisles of savings. Check them out. Millersburg, Jonestown, Pine Grove, and Minersville. Remember, there's still summertime left. That means there's fresh meat for on the hot irons of your summertime grill, and you won't find it any fresher than at BG's, because if their meat was any fresher, Chaz,
you'd have to slap it.
And don't forget the Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road. Their dairy line, from whole milk to skim milk, the orange juice to start off your Saturday morning just right, and that delicious iced tea. the thirst-quenching lemonade and orange juice or orange drink. Don't forget, check out Gears Dairy, the official hydrator of WPPA Sports Saturday and the summer of 2019. Saturday morning oldies show is next. You're listening to WPPA Pottsville Translator, W290DP Pottsville.